Thank you, Donna. Good morning. And I hope everybody is doing well on this Lord's Day. Like I said, we're not going to get a sunburn out here today, but we might get electrocuted. Figured out in a minute. Let me see if that's me. No? I don't think it's me. Yes, Lord, we hear you. The Spirit is here. It's got to figure out which type and which one. Is that this thing? What's that? Oh, hey, there we go. Now we all might be no sound, right? Anyway, every time I get ready to talk, that thing gets nuts, doesn't it? There we go. Well, anyway, at least we can do this. While they're working on that, give somebody a wave. Look at them. Give them a smile wave that says, hey, look, man, I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad that you're here, and, you know, all is right with the world, and we're just looking so forward to being able to go into a new year. If you are part of our online audience, again, we want to welcome you. We thank you for taking the time to tune in and be with us and be a part of all the things that are taking place in Central Baptist Church. And as always, if you're part of our online audience, you also have an ear and a voice. That's our very own Dr. John Cazito. So if you have any questions, you can pose them to him. And if he doesn't get you the answers to them, I'm sure we'll come up with them at some place and at some point. As we continue to go forward and round out this year, we are in the time when we take our Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And once again, for those who may not know, the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, 100% of what you give goes to international missions. That's what keeps our missionaries on the field. That way they don't have to come back every so often to do what's called deputation or whatever you might call it, fundraising or what have you. They are supported through all of the Southern Baptist churches through IMB is what they call it, or International Mission Board, and they have everything they need, all the resources that they need to be able to stay on the field. So 100% of what you give to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering actually goes to them, and that is to keep them on the field. So we wanted to keep you appraised of that. The other thing is when you give to that offering, once again, if you're giving here, you can get one of those envelopes. You can find them in the back of the pew. Somebody will get you one, an usher. I think there's some in the back. All you have to do is write Lottie Moon on that, and we'll make sure that it gets in the right pot to go to the right place. And as always, we thank God for you. We thank God for your support of missions, and we thank God for your contributions to keep our missionaries out on the field and to keep them serving the Lord. And we're going to show you just again just a clip of you know, what if Lottie Moon showed up for worship on Sunday here in just a moment. But let me start us off with a word of prayer as we begin our worship time together. Father, as we come to you today, again, we're grateful and thankful for the many, many blessings that you bestow upon us. Lord, we thank you for the Christmas season in which we celebrate your birth and the opportunity to be able to fellowship and spend time with friends and with family. And Lord, right now we sit on the cusp of a new year, which brings new hope and new grace each and every day. So I pray, Father, that you will continue to speak to our hearts. I pray that you will draw us close, and that, Lord, as we head into yet another year, that we would do so more dedicated to you, with our desire to draw even closer to you each and every step of the way. So, Lord, we ask right now that you would just fill this place. We ask that you would bless our time as only you can, and lead us and guide us in each and every way as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, like I said just a moment ago, I mentioned we're going to kind of see one more video clip of what if Lottie Moon showed up for worship on Sunday. Go ahead and roll.
If Lottie Moon showed up to church here on Sunday?
That's a great question.
Wow. That's a great question.
I love the fact that I think Lottie would feel comfortable coming in to a variety of people in our congregation.
I hope that she would be excited to see what her tiny little church has grown into.
I think that she would be excited to see a thriving local body of Christ. The Cartersville First Baptist of her day would have loved to see the Cartersville First Baptist of today. I think she'd love to see and hear about those that are called out to ministry through this body that have followed in her footsteps.
I think she would be the most pleased with the fact that that same spirit that God had placed on her going to win lost people, there's still people here that God's speaking to. I think if she heard those stories, she would smile and say, yep, God's still up to being God. So I think she would rejoice with that.
But I also think that she would want to shake us up a little bit and wake us up and make sure that we are continuing to work in the ways that God has asked us to work to spread the gospel.
And I think Lottie would look at us in the eye and say, hey, what we're doing, what you're doing is great, but how much more could there be?
All right, what more can we do? She would be the one instigating and provoking and saying, okay, when are we going? How can we do more?
That video is actually going out over the air because it's from the control room up there. So if you go back and watch this, you'll actually get to see the video. So we won't have any sound in here today, but our feed actually does. So we're actually waiting for the video to shut down that's being played over the air right now.
Week. So if any people have been having an interest in joining us, we meet each week at 4:45 on Sunday afternoons for an hour and love to have you. So, okay, we're good. Please stand with me as we sing Good Christian Men Rejoice, 96.
Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Heed ye heed to what we say. Jesus Christ is born today. Man and beast before him bow, and he is in the manger now. Christ is born today. Christ is born today. Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice.
Christ was born to save.
Choir, this next song is not on the screen, the words, so please grab a hymn book for 118, What Child Is This?
Thy name in all the earth.
remember those that are traveling through the holiday season. We also want to remember those who are a little bit under the weather. Still a lot of things going on and going around is the best way to say it. But at any rate, we're glad you're here today. If you have your Bible, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we thank you for dealing with us on our little malfunctions today. Old Satan likes to get into things and mess them up, don't he? But we're not going to let that happen. We're just going to keep on plowing forward as we look into a new year. And as we stand here together today, we are at the threshold of yet a new year, a time when we set back, a time when we reflect on the past while also setting our hearts and minds towards what is in the future. The New Year's symbolizes a new beginning. Now, I've said this many, many times. I know that it's not just something magical is going to happen at the stroke of midnight on the 31st, but yet it gives us some opportunities to draw some lines in the sand, as it were. Yeah, sometimes people sit back and say, well, when is a good time to start? I mean, if the Lord has put some things on your heart or your mind, when is a good time to start? And I said, well, let me think about this. How about now, right now, in this moment and in this time? Now, there are a lot of people who don't do that. And I know you'd sit back and say, well, that's crazy. Well, let me give you a biblical example of that. Do you remember way back in the Old Testament, in the time when Pharaoh was dealing with the plagues and dealing with the things that were going on? And remember those frogs? I mean, I still can't imagine what that would have been like. Just frogs everywhere, in the house, outside of the house. You couldn't stay, just frogs everywhere. And I remember, you know, finally Pharaoh said, enough of the frogs. You know, he went to Moses and he said, you need to tell God to call these frogs off. And it was a very interesting question that Moses asked him. Do you remember what he asked him? He said, when do you want me to call on him to make this go away? And then you got an even more interesting answer to that question. Tomorrow. I mean, you know what? If I'm sitting there and something happens, if I break my leg and they take me to the hospital and I am in severe pain and I am hurting and the doctor comes in and says, yeah, we can give you something for the pain. When would you like it? Yesterday? Do you think I'm going to sit back and go, oh, this is really hurting? How about tomorrow? No. But sometimes we get stuck in those sufferings. Now, as we head into a new year, this could be a line in the sand that we draw. And even some of you would say, well, why wait till Wednesday? Why not today? Well, that's a good point, but don't make it past Wednesday. Today is a really, really good day. You know, it's a day. You know, New Year's Day is a day that kind of symbolizes the new beginnings that each and every one of us have. And I love the scripture that tell us God's mercies are new every day, and God's grace is new each and every day. So look with me, if you would, in our text, and I'm just going to look at one particular scripture. I've got a follow-up, kind of a New Year's follow-up message that I want to share with you next week, but I just want to deal with one verse for today, and that is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It's not going to be a verse that's unfamiliar to you guys. Most of you know this, but I want us to view it with a spiritual heart and a spiritual aspect today. But it says this, 2 Corinthians 5, 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we're grateful and thankful that you give us this time and these moments to be able to gather in your house. And Lord, we realize that that irritates Satan when God's people can get together and be able to share your love and brag about you and open your word. But Lord, we're not going to let anything like that hold us back today. We thank you, Lord, for the provision that you give to each and every one of us. And Lord, the year that you've given us, Lord, we pray that even if it was a year that we look back over with tears and heartache, that we would truly be thankful because you have a plan for each and every one of our lives. Help us today, Lord, through this scripture and through understanding of the Holy Spirit, be able to understand some things today, maybe that we haven't ever understood in the past before. Lord, I pray as your messenger for this time and these moments that you truly would use me for your honor and for your glory. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when we look at particularly the context of this particular verse, we see, you know, this is actually Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, and it is just packed with theological insight and practical exhortations to them, and those are things that you and I can glean from today as well. But in this passage, Paul is emphasizing the transformative power of being in Christ. Now, I want you to understand that word for just a minute, transformative. When you think about something that is transformed, it means it becomes something that it wasn't, right? Now, that's easy for us to understand. I'll tell you one thing, it is oftentimes harder for us, particularly as Christians and as Baptists, to understand that. We don't like nothing to transform, do we? We want it to stay just like it is. Now, in some cases, now if it's a bad thing, we want it to transform. We want it to get better. But if it's a good thing, we want it to stay just like it is. And we can understand that. But folks, let me tell you something. Very often, most often, that is not part of God's plan. Now, when we look again at this particular passage, the city of Corinth was a very diverse, and it was a very bustling hub of people, much like our world today. Because sometimes people will say, well, things are different today than they were back in that day. When this letter was written to Corinth, Corinth was one of those places that there was a lot of push and shove, a lot of hustle and bustle, a lot of sin along the way. There were a lot of challenges to the people of Corinth. There were a lot of temptations to the Christian people in Corinth. And Paul writes this to believers to encourage them and to encourage them to embrace their new identity in Christ. Now, when Christ comes into your heart, he changes you. You have heard me say that for over two decades in this pulpit right here. Jesus in you changes you. Or it should. If it doesn't, then there really needs to be a view as to whether or not there was a genuine conversion experience. So when we look at this particular text today, Paul uses the metaphor of a new creation to describe the change that occurs in a person who is in Christ. And there should be a transformation. This transformation is not merely something external, but an internal reward of the heart and the mind. The old things are symbolic of the former ways that were marked by separation from God, things that were marked by sin. And it says, the old things have passed away. The old things should go away. Now, when I say old things, that doesn't mean things that aren't sinful, but I am talking about the old sinful ways and sinful nature. I don't know about you, but I'm going to ask this question because there are some times that I have just been astonished when I have seen people come to know Christ. Have you ever, in your lifetime, seen somebody who has come to know Christ, they've accepted him, and everything in their life changes? How many of y'all can sit back and say that you know, you have seen that? You could look at their life and you're like, wow, that person is not the same person they used to be. Now I want to ask you this question. How many of you have ever seen somebody who has actually changed even in physical appearance after trusting Christ? I mean, they look different. I have. I was kind of like, wow, man, that person just, within a couple of months. Now, I'm not saying that all of a sudden you didn't know who they were, but there was new joy. There was new hope. There was a smile on the face that didn't used to be there. They've been delivered from different things that sin had them in the grip, and everything has changed. These old things have passed away through the redemptive work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it's ushering in a new way of living, and that new way of living is what aligns with the Word of God. Now, I've said very, very often that I love the fact when somebody comes to know the Lord, and maybe they've been a little rough around the edges. I can use that statement, a little rough around the edges. And it's been really interesting that maybe several months after they've trusted Christ, and all of a sudden you're like, hey, man, can you go get a cup of coffee with me? I got to talk to you about something. And I'm like, sure, I love coffee, and I'm sure I'll enjoy the conversation. So we're sitting there, and I love it when they sit down and say, well, I got a question. Something's just been bothering me. I'm like, okay, well, what is it? And they'll sit back and say, well, you know, All my life I did this. Insert whatever this is. Insert whatever this being an activity that is not pleasing to God the Father. Something that the Word of God says is not a good thing for believers to be doing. Okay? And then they sit back and say, man, I used to do this every week, or I would go here every week, or I would do that every week. But now all of a sudden, I feel bad about going and doing these things. And I laugh and say, well, you know what? If you get me a refill, I'll give you the answer to that question. And then usually they're like, sure. So I get my coffee refill and say, here's the bottom line. The bottom line is that when you trusted Christ, the Holy Spirit came to live within you. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. The Holy Spirit is our guide. So here's what's going on. What's going on is those things that you are doing are not pleasing to the Father according to His Word, and the Holy Spirit is convicting your heart. And they sit back and go, oh, I never thought about it that way. And I said, well, let me tell you something that's even greater than that. That is proof and evidence of the Holy Spirit working in your heart and working in your life. And I applaud you for that. Because I'll tell you this, I've seen many people who sit there and profess to be a Christian, and they go out and they do everything that is contrary to God's word. They do everything that is contrary to God's will, and yet have zero conscience, and I'll use it in that term. I say there's no such thing as conscience. I call it the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. And listen, if there is no conviction of wrongdoing in your life, then you better check whether or not there's any Jesus in your life. Plain and simple. Now, I'm not here today to try to get people to doubt their salvation, but I am also not here today to lull people into a false sense of security in Christ, particularly given our day and age, and particularly given the way things are. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to that had a wonderful mountaintop experience around the campfire and got cold chills and said, I knew at that moment I was saved. And in my heart, I sit back and think, if you drew your last breath, you would bust hell wide open today, plain and simple. And yet, Satan loves to give people the false sense of security when it comes to salvation. Now, folks, by the way, that doesn't mean that you and I are going to be perfect. You know, walking a Christian life is a daily, daily struggle. Amen? We mess up daily. Amen? You know, if you are perfect in here, then, hey, man, me and you need to talk, because I need what you got, because I fail on a daily basis. I like what it was that Paul said. He said, I am the chief among all sinners, and that's one of the greatest preachers to ever walk and profess Christ and walk with Him. And yet, we look at these passages, and he tells us that if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I like a do-over. How about you? Have you ever had something, and I'm trying to remember what it was, but there was something I was doing one day, and it was like a class kind of thing, and you had to do this, and mine was a disaster. I was younger, but mine was just a complete disaster. Maybe if you've been in the teaching field, Judy could probably relate to this. One of them little kids came up to you and you gave them a project, and they said, Miss Raines, I have completely messed mine up. Can I have another one and start all over again? Now, I know Judy well enough to go, she didn't say, absolutely not. There's no way. You're just going to have to take that grade. No. Judy would sit back and say, yes, sweetheart, you come right over here. And let me help you get started on getting this thing done and done right. And folks, that is what God does with us. When we mess up, His grace is sufficient for us. When we go to Him and say, Lord, I have completely messed this thing up. You know what? He might say, yeah, you have. And part of the reason that you messed it up is because you did it yourself. Let me show you, like Miss Judy shows that little child how to put this thing in order. God wants to show you how to live your life. He wants to be there. He wants to be a supreme part of it. So what is the theological significance of this particular passage that we're looking at today? Theologically, this text reassures us of the hope and the new life that each and every one of us have in Christ. It speaks of the sanctification process. And you know what sanctification means? Sanctification means set aside. That's a good way to think about that. As born-again believers, you and I are to be sanctified or set aside. We're not to look like the world. Now, the Lord also tells us this. We have to live in the world, but not of the world. In other words, that means you are going to face the temptations of life, and the Lord expects us to be victorious through Him. You are going to have to be that beacon of light in the darkness, in your communities, in your workplaces, in your neighborhoods, wherever you may go. You are to let your light so shine that men may see Him. We are called to lift Him up that He might draw all men unto Him. Think about it. It speaks of sanctification, this passage. It speaks of the process where the old patterns of sin are replaced by righteousness through the Holy Spirit. And by the way, we don't know that. Remember my story I told you before, people come and say, all of a sudden, I just have this thing in my heart where I'm not comfortable with doing what I've done my whole life or what have you. That is the Holy Spirit leading you and speaking to you. And folks, let me tell you, here's where we get in trouble oftentimes. Oftentimes, we who are spiritual tend to become judgmental over those who are in the process of becoming what God wants them to be. In society today, we see it all the time where people are judged by spiritual people. Oh, well, you know what? If you're going to be a believer, then you're going to have to dress differently, and you're going to have to walk differently, and you're going to have to talk differently, and you're going to have to cut this off and take those out and put these in and scrub that down. Listen, last time I checked, Jesus said, "You come to me just as you are." That's it. He says, you come to me with the thing that needs cut off, the thing that needs taken care of. You come to me in the dress that you are. You come to me just like you are, and together we will work on making the change. It's not your job. It is not my job. It is the job of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, last time I checked, He's good at His job. He can speak more loudly, He can speak more clearly, and yet what happens is often we kind of ride in the space of the Holy Spirit. Well, the Word of God says this. Well, listen, you let the Holy Spirit do the conviction. Yeah, I've shared this within our church before, and people say, well, you know, when you preach, do you expect people every time you preach to come to Jesus or draw close to Him? I said, absolutely. And they said, well, that's a pretty arrogant position, isn't it? And I said, no, it's not an arrogant position. Let me tell you why I believe that. Because the Word of God does not return void, and it doesn't have to have the help of Roy Carter, period. Plain and simple. You know, even if I stood up here and read, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Then the Holy Spirit is translating that into your heart. Do I have an expectation? Absolutely. Do I know what the results are? Not always. Do I expect results? Absolutely. Because here's the thing, and people say, well, doesn't that depress you sometimes? I said, nope. And I'm going to tell you why. I said, because I am doing what God called me to do. The results are up to Him. Thanks be to God. The results are up to Him. You see, He is communicating with you in this place today. What you do with that communication between you and Him is between you and Him. Yeah, He's telling you, you need to get some things straightened out in your life. Then get them straightened out in your life. Roy don't know about that. But the Lord, see, I'm just a tool. Yeah, a wrench is only as good as the hand that it's in. Now, I can sit there with my fingers and try to take a motor mount out all day, and it's not going to happen because I don't have the strength to do it. But I can put a tool on there and go, watch Jimmy do it a bunch of times, and all of a sudden the bolt comes off because he had the right tool. I'm a tool in the hand of the Master. So how do we make application to that? And that's where I want to spend just a few minutes before we depart our ways today and head into a new year. See, as we step into this new year, we need to take the opportunity to cast off the burdens of the past. There are too many people today who are born again, Bible-believing creatures of God, a new creation, that are being held down by Satan because you are allowing the burdens of the past to hold you down. You are listening to Satan. Even in this place today, God has said some great and some cool things to you through the Holy Spirit. He has confirmed his love for you, and Satan's right there saying, well, what about that thing you did 5 years ago? What about that big mess you created? Well, how on earth could God love you after what you have done? And too many Christian people are being held back by sin that they have already confessed before the Father, and yet you're letting Satan hold you back with those particular things. You are to forget the things of the past. Now, let me tell you something that's going to hurt on this one, and it will segue a little bit into what I'm going to preach about next week. You got to let go of the things of the past. And you sit back and say, well, I can do that. Yeah, I can let go of the sin and the hurt and all the different things that I have caused. Great, that's good. Sometimes those are easier to let go of, but let me tell you what else you got to do. You have to let go of the successes of the past as well. Let me tell you one of the things that can hurt you more going forward than anything: success. You ever notice that? When you start to get successful, that's when things can become even tougher because things look good. All of a sudden, that's our benchmark. Now, I want to remind you of something that the Lord said to Job. The Lord said this to Job. He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So if you are on the mountaintop, enjoy it, because let me promise you, there's a valley coming, plain and simple. If you're in the midst of joy and laughing, enjoy it, because there's going to become a time of tears and sorrow as you go forward. But success can hold us back as well. We are to cast off the burdens of the past, our failures, our regrets, our sins, and embrace new life in Christ. So what does that look like? When we cast this off, what does that look like? I have four things, because most preachers have three. I got to have four. So number one, we need regular self-examination. As we head into this new year, we need to regularly self-examine ourselves. Remember what happened when we took communion on Christmas Eve, or when you take communion. The Word says, but let a man examine himself. You ask the Spirit, what's in my life that needs to be dealt with? Lord, give me convict me of areas of sin or things that need to be dealt with. You know, that I might repent and get clear of the old baggage that is holding me down. So we need regular self-examination and repentance to clear out the baggage. Now, if you're writing stuff down, that's a good one to write down. That was number one. The second thing that we need to do is we need to set spiritual goals, such as dedicating more time to prayer and more time to study of the Word. It's not, you know, it's not good enough just to sit back and just read through it like you're reading the newspaper. And I know some people say, well, that's the way I do my Bible study. No. Listen, you need to get on your knees and ask God. Say, Lord, I'm getting ready to read one chapter today in your Word. But I want you to speak to me through that chapter. I want you to show me how it applies to my life, because the Word is a living Word. It is applicable to us where we are. And even in today's time, it will hit home every single time. Ask those who spend time together in small group discipleship. Works, don't it, Kurt? Yeah. It works, don't it, Mari? Yeah, every time you've got something to talk about when you get together about what God has done or what God has said or the way God has convicted in the heart or the way God has worked in life. And that, my friend, is when it's a lot of fun to be a part of discipleship. See, you know what? This year, as we head into a new year, be dedicated to set some spiritual goals. Now, here's another complete message. I'm not going to give it to you, but I'm going to go ahead and put this in there. If you set some goals, here's what I want to encourage you to do. I want to encourage you to get some accountability. I want to encourage you to do that. You know why? Because if you don't, you will tucker out in the first month. You'll be done. You'll sit back and say, I'm going to read one chapter a day. I'm going to study and I'm going to do really good. By February, you're like, Lord, I'm sorry. Some of you by the second week of January are doing that. You know what? The first question that our discipleship groups, we always ask, did you read your five chapters this week? Did you read your five chapters? And you know what? We'll be honest. Sometimes it's like, do better. But we always know somebody's going to ask us if we did it. And I don't want to disappoint my group. I love those guys. I don't want them to disappoint me, and I don't want to disappoint them. And by the way, folks, one chapter a day is nothing. I've said before, if you go to the bathroom, you can read one chapter a day. Plain and simple. You can do that. Now, not just blow through it, but sit there and say, Lord, speak to my heart. So set some goals as we head into 2025, spiritual goals. Be more dedicated to prayer. Be more dedicated to the study of Scripture. And I want to say this. Oftentimes people talk about prayer, and my whole deal is simply this. People go, well, yeah, prayer's nothing. Yeah, prayer's everything. I want you to understand that. Prayer is the ministry. And people go, I just don't get it. Well, start giving it a whirl and watch what happens. It is about prayer. Aside from prayer, nothing of significance is going to be accomplished in the kingdom of God. I promise that. What are we looking at as far as number three? Remember, we talked, we need, first of all, regular self-examination. The second, we needed to set spiritual goals. The third thing is that we need to cultivate a habit of gratitude. I don't know what it is, but everybody in our current day and age seems to be nasty and cutting on every simple little thing. Everybody is critical. Is it just me? Do y'all see that? Everywhere you go, look on social media. Somebody can ask a really nice question, go down and start looking at the comments, and there's going to be somebody who's going to stir the pot with trouble and everything. Somebody's going to be making smart-alecky comments. Some people are going to be cutting other people down. And by the way, here's the problem. It's not just on social media. It's everywhere. It has even gotten in the church. We can't seem to find anything nice to say. Now, I'm going to give you an old adage one more time. Like Grandma used to say, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. And I promise you, the silence of this world would stagger you. Because that's where people's hearts are today. I don't get it. We're not grateful anymore. You know, when you go to a restaurant and you sit down, yeah, it might get slow, and yeah, we get a little irritated sometimes. You know, I mean, there's times I've gone to the restaurant where I didn't get what I ordered, I didn't get what I asked for, nobody comes by and fills up the tea glass, and yeah, I get a little bit irritated. But you know what? God gave me the opportunity to sit down for a meal, gave me the resources to provide it, and here's the other thing. Often, I don't know what's going on in the life of that wait person right there. If I took the time to find out, there's probably a whole bunch of things that are going on in their life because everybody's got stuff going on, don't we? We all have heartaches that we carry day in and day out. And sometimes you can't seem to put one foot in front of the other. Man, I love to be around people who have the attitude of gratitude. I met with some guys for lunch and I said, hey, man, I want to get you guys lunch, man. I just love you, and I appreciate you, and I want to get you lunch. And, I, of course, I'm not mentioning any names. I don't think anybody in here knows them, but when we got ready to go, one of those guys put down, we had like a barbecue sandwich or something, nothing big deal. There was a couple, two or three of us, and he puts down a $100 tip. And I said, you realize that's $100, right? He goes, Yeah. He says, I just try to be a blessing. He said, especially this time of the year. And he said, I don't know what that young lady's got, you know, on her heart or what she's struggling with, but I know Christmas is coming up and I know this will probably help her out. I said, okay, then do me a favor. I said, don't leave it on the table for somebody else to pick up and leave. I said, just go over there and put it in her hand. I don't want to do that. I don't want anyone to know. All right. give it to me. I said, by the way, I went over to her. She was sitting over there, and I said, thank you so much for your service. I hope you have a Merry Christmas. This is not from me. That's what I said. But I knew she got it. Are we that way anymore, or are we sitting there going, I can't believe I didn't get my sweet tea? We have got to cultivate an attitude of gratitude. We need to be grateful. Folks, we have so much to be grateful for. We need to recognize God's blessing in our lives on a daily basis. Do you do that? Now, I say this every time. You all will hear this at least some point every year along the way in some sermon that I am preaching. I love the old hymn, Count Your Blessings. Because if you want to be a cranky old stiff shirt, start counting your blessings and you will see how much God has blessed you. You got a roof over your head. You got shoes on your feet. You had heat in the house last night. You had warm blankets. And I will promise you, you don't have to look far to see somebody sleeping on a cold floor. You don't have to look far to see one of our military guys that's out on patrol at a place that's either extremely hot or extremely cold, away from their families, protecting our freedoms. And we need to be grateful for that. We need to shed the nastiness and become, listen, if you want somebody to know you're a Christian today, just walk like one, be kind, and they'll know right off the bat, because this world has turned away from that. I've seen some of the nastiest people in the 58, almost 59 years of my life here lately that I've ever seen in my lifetime. The fourth thing I want to mention is that we need to actively participate in community activities. We need to actively participate in church activities to grow in fellowship and to grow in service. Church is not something you do, it's something you are. When the church is having things, opportunities to be able to get together, participate. It's not that difficult. I used to, when I first came here 20-some years ago, we used to sit back and say, well, no, you could get 50 people to squirt mustard on hot dogs, but you couldn't get two people to go out and visit somebody. Well, guess what? It's 2024, and you can't even get two people to squirt mustard on hot dogs now. Come on, folks. We're not spectators. This is the family of God. And we need to step up. We need to participate in the family of God. We need to participate in the things that are going on. We hear it all the time. People say, well, how come our church don't have this? We ain't got nobody that'll do it. When you want to start, we can help you out. We can get it going. But me and David can't do it all. We got to have help. God says, step up and be what I have called you to be. And here's the thing. We know he's called people to do things. Oh, by the way, he's called all of us to do something through the church and in the kingdom of God. My question is, are you doing it? Well, guess what? If you're not, 2025 would be a great, great time to get started. Those are the four things. Let me run them down again. The practical application of this particular verse. Number one, regular self-examination and repentance to clear out the baggage. Number two, setting spiritual goals, such as dedicating more time to prayer and scriptural study. Number three, cultivating a habit of gratitude and recognizing God's blessings in our lives on a daily basis. And number four, actively participate in your community and your church activities to grow in fellowship and to grow in service. Now, as believers, the start of a new year is not just a passage of time, but it is a reminder of the hope and the renewal that is continually available to us through Christ Jesus. Let us, each and every one, step forward with renewed faith and determination. Got to have some determination. Fully embracing our identity as the new creation in Christ that he has made us. Can we do that in 2025? New year's coming. The old year is past. As we reminisce over 2024, I pray that the bad things that happen will change around for you. I pray that the good things that happen will also be able to be left behind you. Because I said a moment ago, each new day, God's mercies and His graces are new every single day. You know what? If you had a bad day and He gives you tomorrow, it can be a good day. What is it that the Lord has put on your heart today? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. That should be encouraging to each and every one of us as we wind down 2024 and as we head into 2025. So my question, the question of questions, is simply this. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life? Is He your Lord, or is this just something you do? You know, I was raised in the church, so I must be in. I'm a good person. My mama brought me to church before I was ever born. So that means I'm in. No, you're not. You have to personally choose to follow Jesus Christ. Well, I'm a good person. Hell's going to be full of good people. I'm a church person. Hell's going to be full of church people. Well, I serve. Hell's going to be full of people who served day in and day out, Sunday in and Sunday out, who missed the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Have you trusted Him? Now, I'm not here to create false sense of security, but I'm also not here to give you false hope in the fact of what your experience is. The Holy Spirit is knocking at your heart's door right now. I promise you that. Brad, y'all come on up. I can promise you this, that if you are not saved, He said, I would that none should perish. He is knocking at your heart's door. And He's saying, will you let me come in? Now, let me tell you what Satan's doing. Satan's going, holy moly, man, he still has to do announcements. We still have to take up the offering. It's quarter till. You know, we're not going to get out here early. People are going to be looking at me. Satan's going to tell you all kinds of junk to keep you from being what God wants you to be today. The question is, will you allow that to happen? Has He called you? Listen, if you mess this up, you mess up everything. One guy told me before, he said, my life, everything in my life's been a disaster. I said, well, don't make this one it. This one is where you can get it right. If you can, if the Lord's beckoning your heart, not Roy, but the Lord's beckoning your heart, then you can simply pray to Him, Lord, I hear you. I know I'm a sinner. Forgive my sins. Come into my life. Save my soul. And help me live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now listen, if you did that, that's the handshake, that's the beginning, that's the introduction, that's not it. Yeah, you know, oh, I checked the box off, I'm going to be in heaven. No. Lord said, not all who say, Lord, Lord, winner in the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of the Father. Now, don't get me wrong, I am not preaching works because we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But He also said this, faith without works is dead. How's your faith today? Dead? Well, He can resurrect it just like that. Maybe you're here today and you've got some dead faith. Boy, He can make them dry bones jump together one more time. If you'll just surrender to Him and say, Lord, yep, I haven't been what You wanted me to be. I've been what I wanted me to be, but not what You wanted me to be. This day, and as I head into this new year, I want to be what You want me to be. Would you just call on Him and say, Lord, help me to be all I can be for You, for Your honor, for Your glory. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Then you have to look for what the way He's going to lead you and guide you. I gave you four practical steps to help get that journey started. Yeah, you can sit down with other people. Like I said, I love getting together with my guys on Sunday and talking about what the Lord's done, talking about those scriptures, pulling them apart. Sometimes I wonder how I went as many years as I did without being in a group like that. And that's what He said. He said, go make disciples. By the way, He didn't say go make converts. He said go make disciples. Because you see, a disciple is a convert, but a convert's not always a disciple. Parse that out a little bit when you get a chance. But I'm running out of time.
Think about it for a minute. So I'm going to ask you this. What does the Lord put on your heart? Yeah, you know what? You can fill out cards. You can do all this. You can call me later. That's all well and good. But we still believe in a good old-fashioned altar call at Central Baptist Church. The chance for you to sit back and say to the people, the Lord has worked in my heart. I've given my heart to Him. The chance to say, I've got some things I need to lay down at the altar here. You know what? The altar's here. I'm here. But whatever the Lord has put on your heart, you take action in it today. If you need us to help you on the path of discipleship, we can do that. Let me know. I can't fix what I don't know is broken. You got to let me know. If you've trusted Christ, let us celebrate with you as the family of God. What a great, great moment and opportunity that is. So what has God said to you today? Because if you came expecting to hear from Him, you heard something. Not because I'm a good preacher, but because the Holy Spirit's good. What did you hear today? What do you need to do in action towards it? As we stand and sing our invitation hymn number 320, You Do Business With God, Brad, come lead us.
Soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free.
As your eyes are closed, as you do business with God, do not let the moment that the Spirit is speaking to you get away. Remember, Satan's going to try to hold you back. Are you going to allow that? You respond to whatever it is God's putting on your heart right now. Don't let the moment get away from you. As you continue to seek Him through prayer, I'm going to ask that our ushers make their way down to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Amen. Folks, I want to remind you that we are taking our Lottie Moon Christmas offering for international missions. We have a goal of $10,000. David could probably tell you a little bit more about that when he closes in prayer. Well, I'll let him share that with you shortly. But anyway, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we return thanks for the offering. Father, you're good to us. All provision truly comes from you, and you have certainly been good to us. I pray that we truly can be found faithful in this time of worship as we give back to you that which you have so richly blessed us with. And then, Lord, we ask for wisdom. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to be good stewards of what is yours, not only in the house of the Lord, but also good stewards of what you have allowed us to manage in our own lives and in our own families. Help us to be found faithful, Father, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Vicki. Let me tell you what we got going on. We'll get you on out of here just real quickly. Birthdays that we have coming up this week. For today, Amy Kahn. And I know some of y'all are going, who is Amy Kahn? That is Amy Kreider Kahn. That's her new married name. So for those of y'all who are sitting there going, who is that? That's Amy Kreider. That's her new name, Amy Kreider Kahn. Her birthday is today. Then tomorrow, Erica Twitty will be having a birthday. Wednesday, Madeline Swaney. Thursday is Wesley Ham's birthday, and then on Saturday, Kelly Joyce will be celebrating a birthday. If you get a chance to see those folks, be sure to wish them a happy birthday and let them know how much you love them. Let me tell you about what we got going on as far as through this week. Today, there will be no evening services or activities. As you can tell, there's a lot of people that are traveling out of town for New Year's or have other responsibilities. We will not be having evening services tonight. The office is going to be closed, and I'm going to go ahead and throw another day in. The office is closed on Tuesday and Wednesday for the observance of New Year's. However, I'm going to go ahead and say that the office is going to be closed on Thursday as well, and I'm going to tell you why. There is an HVAC unit that is going to be being placed on top of the building over there. And really, for safety reasons, there's not supposed to be anybody on the property. We were actually asked to make sure to let folks know that nobody should be on the property, because if a crane turns loose of an HVAC unit and it comes crashing through a building, people get hurt. So basically, Tuesday and Wednesday, office is closed for a holiday. Thursday, we're going to be closed because of the project of them putting the HVAC up on the top of the roof, and have asked us to make sure nobody is on the property when that is done. Also, just a couple of things. The 8th of this month will be the Ladies Connections Monthly meeting in the FLC 116. And then on the 15th of January is the Ladies Monthly Breakfast at Cagney's over on Friendly at 9 a.m. Keep in mind, it's getting closer and closer. February the 25th through March the 7th, that is going to be our Cuba mission trip. Our team is pretty much set to go. We don't have the details yet. Those details are all pretty much made through the Baptist State Convention of North Carolina. We'll try to let folks know more as we know more. But that is coming up February 28th through March 7th. During the month of February, we will be allowing our church the opportunity to contribute and to participate in the ministries that we support while we're over there. You all have done such a phenomenal job over the last 20 years of being able to support ministry that keeps on throughout the whole year because of what you've done. I don't believe Central Baptist will know on this side of glory the differences that you have made in Cuba, and those that have gone and sacrificed and traveled to be a part of what God is doing. Just a couple things I want to mention as well. Keep Roger in your prayers. You know, Roger was in the hospital last week. He is recuperating along. Got to get that blood built back up. So continue to remember he and Don Ree, such precious souls. They are I'll call them the matriarch and patriarch of Central Baptist Church, and we love them. Keep them in your prayers. Also, as a reminder, we want to remember our administrative assistant, Debbie Sullivan's family. Debbie's mother passed away yesterday at about 2:30. Probably the funeral is presumed to be somewhere around this coming Thursday or Friday. We'll know a little bit more once Debbie has had the opportunity to speak with the funeral home on that. So keep that in mind. Keep Debbie in your prayers as she goes through a difficult week. Probably won't have a bulletin next week, but we won't die, will we? Okay, everybody good with that? That ain't a problem. You can hear me. I'll tell you what's going on. Just pay attention. But y'all pray for Debbie. She's got a lot on her plate as she goes through this particular week. Also, we want to continue to keep Debbie McDonald in your prayers as she recovers from her surgery. Great report. No cancer. They believe they got it all. So now we just got to get her back on her feet. So pray for Debbie as well as Jim. Jim the caretaker. There you go. Yeah, might need to pray for Debbie even more, knowing Jim's the one taking care of her. So. But at any rate, also we need to remember Diane Bloxham. Y'all know Diane had that surgery. She had bile duct cancer. The report is not exactly what we wanted, and Diane said it is okay to share this. They did remove her gallbladder, but they were not able to get the cancer because of where it is located and the way that it is located. Diane is still in the hospital. She will probably be released from the hospital tomorrow. Most likely tomorrow is when she will be able to come home. But she is going to be looking at some pretty aggressive chemotherapy treatments at this point from what she knows. And we need to pray for her because God still does miracles. Now, I don't know exactly to what extent all this is. I am sharing with you what she shared me and allowed me to share with you guys because she's like I am. The more people praying for me, the better off I am. What a precious, precious lady. Let's pray for Diane and pray that, let's just pray this cancer away. I've seen it happen before. Let's keep asking the Lord, but continue to remember Diane. And then also finally, before Dave comes up and lets us all out of here and gives us maybe an update on where we are with the Lottie Moon offering. Last week, we recognized some of our support staff folks. And I did not have the gift to give one of our support staff folks, but Tim Wharf, a lot of y'all see Tim. That's Tim back there, way. Tim does a lot of things with AV. He does a lot of things with the building. We did get him his gift. That's a good thing, but I didn't want it to go without being said with what Tim does. How many of you all, and don't lie now, you're going to have to repeat, how many of y'all watch the Wednesday Bible study? Shame on the rest of y'all. Anyway, the Wednesday Bible study airs at what would be our prayer meeting time on Wednesdays. Wednesdays at 6 o'clock. If you've ever watched that, Tim is the one who we'll call him the executive producer. Well, I go up in the studio and shoot that Bible study video. Tim is the one who puts it all together, gets it compiled, has it go up. And I'll be honest with you, it looks really professional to me. If you've ever had that chance to look at it, Tim is the one who takes care of all that, plus so many other things around here in the way of building and grounds. We didn't want him to go unrecognized. So we appreciate all that Tim does. You got 3 minutes, David. You can come up, Dave, and get us out of here on time, brother. We appreciate you. Oh, and thank every one of y'all on behalf of our staff. Thank y'all for the gifts, the kindness, and everything that you have showed us through the Christmas season. We love you guys so much, and we appreciate all that you all have done for us. They have meant so much and put a smile on each of our faces.
In relationship to Lottie Moon, we've received a little over $4,000. It's been a difficult year for Lottie Moon because of all the other things that we've been doing financially. We had Operation Christmas Child. We had the disaster recovery things that you guys have supported wonderfully in helping us get clothes and food supplies and everything to Western North Carolina, and that's not over yet. So I understand that we're a little bit low, but I'm not one of those high-pressure salesmen that's going to say, but you got to do this. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if you intended to give to Lottie Moon and you haven't yet, this is the last Sunday that we'll take it. But you can mail it in to the church. Usually by a little early in the first of the year, we mail the check to the convention. So you do what God leads you to do, and that'll be fine. Now, we had planned on this afternoon for our seniors to have an outing at the movie theater to see the best Christmas pageant ever. However, it's not available anymore at the movies. They took it out, so we can't do that. But instead, we're going to go eat a meal. So that, you know, if you can't do something you really plan on doing, you're Baptist, you can go eat. Okay, so we're going to meet at 4:30 over at Captain Tom's Seafood in Kernersville. It's right across from the Ford Place on 66. And if you're a senior adult, I'd love for you to be there. The meal is on us, so you can come and eat and not worry about what it's going to cost you. But I do need you to sign up on that sheet out in the foyer, so because when I leave here today, I'm going to go by and tell them how many people are coming. So if you want to go with us and you're 50 years old and older, you qualify, okay? You don't have to be 65 to be a senior, or you don't have to be a 65 to go eat with us, okay? Let me lead you in a word of prayer, please. Our Father, we thank you so much for the love that you have for us and for the provision that's been made for our salvation, for the privilege of being adopted into your family just because you loved us. Lord, as we go from this place today, as we look at a new year, help us to put these principles in practice that our pastor has taught today. Help us to get our hearts and our lives in tune with you and do the things that you've wanted us to do with our life, that we might fulfill your will in our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.